Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey, North Point, I am so excited to be sharing with you today as part of the series Heaven Revealed. We just finished talking about the Lord's Prayer, and one of the most beautiful parts of that prayer is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if we're praying that prayer every day, if that's a part of our life, then we should be expecting that heaven is going to come to earth. And so what we're talking about, what we're exploring, what we're studying together is how that happens. And so we talked a little bit about repentance and about faith. And today we're going to be talking about obedience. You know, so many times we use these words, faith, repentance, obedience, love, joy, hope, whatever it is. And we have such a preconceived idea of what they mean. And we can sometimes just tune them out, gloss over them. But today, I want to encourage you just to open up your eyes, to put on the hat of this may be the first time that you've heard these concepts, and to really lean into them and the freshness of them, because they are so incredibly crucial to our lives. If we want to see heaven come to earth, we're going to have to lean in more now than ever into who God is, what He has done, and what He wants to do. And really, you could sum that up in the God way. See, the Bible tells us that God's ways and His thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts. So how do we even begin to start? Well, it has to start with grace. See, Christianity isn't a set of rules that you can just import into your life and suddenly it's just supernatural. No, Christianity is about a living God who is available for you to know and to journey and to walk with. And grace is this beautiful thing because it allows us to see what we could not ever see without it. You know, it's one thing if you were to tell somebody who was blind directions, okay, walk two steps up, now take two steps to the right, now take two steps forward, and maybe they could negotiate a path just with your voice. But what if you had the power to heal that person's eyes and to allow them to see what you see? See, God doesn't just give us a list of instructions. Instead, He literally opens up our blind eyes and allows us to see what He sees. And that's such a big part of what the Bible is doing, is it's teaching us, it's continuing to open up our eyes. And without grace, there is no way that we can really see what God sees, that we can really think the way that God thinks, that we can follow the way of God. It is supernatural. The Bible tells us that we are saved by grace through faith, that it's a free gift, that it's not something that any one of us can do on our own, because otherwise we would boast about it. And I think sometimes we can be so proud of ourselves for following God's way, but we can forget that it's the grace of God that opens our eyes so that then we can enter into faith and repentance. You know, faith and repentance are almost two sides of the same coin, because they really are about adopting and accepting God's way of thinking over our own. Repentance, as Pastor Philip has shared with us, is about changing our mind. It's about turning our mindset. And faith is about choosing God's way, God's truth, over our own. It's right there together. But this is the thing that's so important, is that when we have that grace moment where our eyes open and we make the decision to think something different, it has to result in something tangible in our lives called obedience. Obedience. Now, obedience is not a super popular word. In fact, in parenting, people are encouraging you not to use the word obey. Spoiler alert, God loves the word obey. In fact, God commands children to obey their parents. And you know what? We should command our children to obey us too. Why? Because obeying us is the first step to learning how to obey God and to understand that there's an authority, there's a thought process, there's a way that is higher than us. See, the Bible tells us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. Think about that for a second. There's a way that seems right to each one of us, but the end is death. But when we choose God's way, the end is life. Literally, you could say that the end is heaven coming to earth. But it's so easy to choose our own way, isn't it? It's so easy to decide that our way is the best way and that we don't really have to listen to God. Let's go back to the beginning and look at the pattern of blindness really that's in the scripture. You know, the Bible is 66 books that form this beautiful story that points to Jesus. And at the very beginning of creation, God saw that things were good. That was his perspective. That was his way. That was his intention, is that things would be good. But then sin entered into the world and we began to see different things. One of the very first things that happened when sin entered the world is that Adam and Eve began to see themselves differently. They had always been naked, but now nakedness had a new meaning. It was their own meaning. Whereas before, them being naked had no meaning. They just went, oh, I'm fine. I'm covered. I'm okay. This is who I am. Now, the meaning that was supplied by their new perspective was one of shame. And you know, I think that that's such a beautiful picture of what happens in our own lives, is we have these facts that we all share, but then we are supplying meaning to those facts. We are supplying meaning either from our own way, our own perspective, from the perspective of the world, the flesh, and the devil, or we're supplying meaning to those facts from God's word and from God's way. See, we can say, well, these are just the facts, but the facts are neutral. It's the meaning that really gives them their oomph and allows us to begin to act on them. I'll give you an example. If you've ever had a roommate or a spouse and you live in the same house and you walk into the kitchen and there are just dishes all in the kitchen, the fact is that someone who was not you messed up dishes and now there are dishes in the sink. Those are the facts. But we all know that our perspective creates the meaning, right? We look at those, and if we are feeling some kind of way towards that person who we share a home with, we might think they're lazy, they don't care about me, they have issues, they're immature, all of those things. But if we have a different perspective and we know that the night before they were up really late or they had to rush out to a work emergency, we might say, oh man, they're really busy. I know that they'll get to that. They care about me. And we might even take a different action. We might jump in and help them. See, our perspective takes the facts, adds meaning, and then a lot of times we'll dictate our response. And that's why it's so dangerous to try to take the facts, to try to take the plain language of the Bible and to read it and then to just, you know, go forward with it without allowing God to change our hearts and then to accept his way and to change our minds. Because then we just go, okay, well, God is love. And without any additional investigation, say, because God is love, God does not care who I sleep with. Okay, well, God is just. And we can take that and we can use it to be mean to people that we just want to be mean to because they sin different than us. The meaning matters when we apply it to the facts of our life. And that's why it's so important that even when we talk about obedience, we start with grace and we say we need the grace of God that'll give us His perspective, that will allow us to have faith and repentance, but then ultimately will culminate in an obedience that lines up with His word, but also with His spirit. See, obedience is one of the ways that heaven gets into earth. In fact, I would argue it's the only way, ultimately, that heaven will actually get to earth. And we see this pattern in the Bible because Jesus, God, creates the world. It's perfect, right? Sin comes in the world. The perspective is changed. And then over and over and over and over and over again, people see, and then they take the wrong action, and bad things happen. But then Jesus came. And He saw everything that we saw, but He decided to line up His life with the will of God over His own will. And suddenly something else happened. And when we choose that, that's when heaven gets in to our lives as well. I'll give you some examples. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a mandate of the scriptures. God tells us, He says so specifically, He says, if you want me to forgive you, you have to forgive others. Did you know that your lifestyle isn't a prerequisite to whether or not God will forgive you, but whether or not you forgive others is a prerequisite? That's crazy, but that's what the Bible says. When we choose to forgive, we bring heaven into earth through our obedience, because only through forgiveness do we become free, but also only through forgiveness do we remind ourselves that no matter what other people have done to us, that our debt to God is much greater, and that we choose Him over vengeance, over anger, over any of those things. And it allows us to follow Him without any kind of baggage. It's a beautiful thing. It brings heaven to earth, but it also is an example for others. Because society would tell you that you don't have to forgive, that that's the language of the oppressor, that that's just not really something that has to be done, that you're allowed to just cut people and entire groups completely out and throw them away. No, that's not the Jesus way. God's ways are higher than our ways. How about if we talk about giving, being generous? You know, this is where people get really hung up sometimes, is just talking about giving and generosity. And I think one of the reasons people do isn't because giving is so different than anything else that's asked of us in the Bible. It's just that it's a check the box and it's really easy to know whether you're doing it or not. I mean, even forgiveness can be a little bit mushy. Oh, I forgive. Okay, that can be a little bit mushy. You can kind of lie to yourself about that. But giving, you can check your bank account and know whether or not you're giving, know whether or not you're tithing, know whether or not you're generous. It's pretty clear. And so sometimes we can push back on it, but it's the will of God that we would be generous, that we would give. And tithing is biblical. Tithing is giving 10% of your income. This is the thing though, if we all obeyed and we all consistently gave, whether we tithed or whether we just did percentage giving or whatever it is, if we all did that, imagine how much of heaven could get into earth. Imagine how many things could be changed in our cities, in our nation, and in our world. The reality is that only about 20% of people in a church usually give on a consistent basis. Isn't that crazy? That means 20% of people are living in obedience when it comes to giving. 80% are forfeiting heaven coming to earth in that area of their lives through obedience. How about our testimonies? You know, I have a really good friend. Her name's Esther Pennebaker, and I love her dearly. She was a pastor's wife for 17 15 years. She's raised three incredible kids who she has homeschooled all the way through. She has a wonderful husband, is probably the best cook that I have ever met. She's a discipler. She's a Jesus follower. She's a leader. She's a servant. And now she is a published author. And I've watched her on this journey from the time that God really gave her a message for this book to the time that she really submitted herself to it and said, okay, I'm out of my comfort zone. I don't have a platform. I have never written a book before. I'm not exactly sure how this is going to work. I know I'm going to have to work so hard even after I write the book to promote the book, to get it in the hands of people. But God has given me a message and He's asked me to be a person who testifies. So this is my testimony and I'm going to give it to the world. Her book is aptly titled Nothing. Isn't that beautiful? No dot thing, but it's about, if you ask her, nothing. And so many times we can use the nothing that is in our life as an excuse not to be obedient. But Esther, I am so glad, so incredibly glad that you were obedient to God. Because of your obedience, a little bit of heaven has gotten into earth. And that message, that testimony has encouraged so many people. Well, what are you who's watching this on your couch or on your phone or on your computer or at work or wherever you are, what are you holding back on because you don't feel qualified? And you're allowing your perspective of yourself, your perspective, to trump God's way. And you're choosing to be disobedient simply because you are choosing not to see the way that God sees. See, even if God heals our eyes, even if He opens up the eyes of the blind, we can still choose to close our eyes again. When we choose disobedience, that's exactly what we're doing. We're choosing to close our eyes. We're choosing to walk a different path. But we don't have to do that. Instead, we can choose to obey and to bring heaven to earth, to choose God's way over our way, His perspective over our perspective. And you know, we have such a beautiful example in Jesus. The story of Jesus is beautiful. I encourage you to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have four different stories of Jesus's life. They're all beautiful. Some of them emphasize this, that, and the other. But through these stories, what we know is that Jesus escaped death many times before He was arrested and went to the cross. One time they were going to stone Him. The crowd was going to stone Him, and He just walked right through. Another time they were going to throw Him off a cliff, and He got away and walked away. And at least twice, He found out that the people who were in Jerusalem were plotting to kill Him, and He just left town. See, Jesus knew a lot of things, and so He was able to avoid being killed. And we find Him the night before He's going to give His life for you and for me so that we have a chance to have a relationship with God, so that our eyes can be opened and we can see what He sees, right? And He's in a garden and He's praying and He knows what's coming. He knows that the temple guards are coming. He knows that He's going to be betrayed. He knows that the cross is coming, and He has enough time to get away, just like He had many times before. But instead of doing that, He prays this prayer. He says, "Not my will, God, but Your will be done." Not my will, but Your will be done. And in that moment, He broke the pattern. Instead of people choosing their own way, the way that seemed right to a man, He opened up the whole paradigm of us being able to walk by faith, not by sight, by our own perspective. Of us choosing to obey, even when it isn't what we would have chosen for ourselves. You know, sometimes we can just do what we wanted to do anyway, and it happens to line up with God's word, and we can call it obedience. But that's not really the obedience we're talking about. Obedience is when you're facing a decision that isn't what you want, where your flesh is crying out and saying, I don't want this. And instead, we choose God's way over our way. It's when we choose to honor and love and care for our spouse, even when everybody's encouraging us to, oh, just get out. You deserve to be happy. It's when we choose to be integrous in our business, even when everybody else in the industry is cheating and getting an advantage. It's when we choose to be open with our faith, even though it may cost us a friendship or a business relationship or an opportunity. It's when we choose to forgive or to speak in love or to do all of those things when everything on the inside of us doesn't want to. I want to encourage you today. Choose to allow the grace of God that has opened your eyes to change your perspective. Lean into faith and repentance, but allow those things to drive you towards a life of continued obedience. Now look, I'm not saying it's going to be perfect, but what I am saying is that if we continue to practice putting God's way in front of our way, if we continue to practice choosing His perspective over our perspective, if we continue to practice that, then we will live a life where heaven begins to come to earth in every single area. Well, before we end this year, we are using the LEAD acrostic because we want to lead ourselves really, really well in this year of application. We don't want to just hear a sermon and say, oh, that's good. I think I got some good things out of that. Instead, we want to be able to know what we learned, what we're supposed to evaluate, what we're supposed to apply, and we want to remind ourselves to do it again. So today, what we've learned is that obedience is me choosing God's way over my way. Obedience is me choosing God's way over my way. And then what are we going to evaluate? Do I follow God's way even when I don't want to? Do I follow God's way even when I don't want to? And then application. What's one area where I can begin to start practicing obedience? Maybe it's giving. Maybe you need to change the questions you're asking and get them to line up with God's perspective, because God's perspective is a little bit different. You know, the world says, the flesh says, what do I want to do with my money? But there's some other questions. There's what does God want me to do with my money? And that's progress, right? Yes, we're asking God's perspective. But God's way actually sounds like this. What does God want to do with God's money? That's a different way, because the Bible tells us that we're just stewards. We're just stewards of what God's given us, that everything we have is what He gave from us. Another way to say it is everything goes back in the box. Another way to say it is you came into this world naked and you leave naked. You don't get to take anything with you. You're just a steward. Everything that I have, all my talents, all of my time, all of my money, it's all a gift from God. And when I get in line with His way, then I ask the right question. What does God want me to do with God's money? And by the way, that answer might surprise you, because He wants you to invest. He wants you to steward it. He wants you to live according to a budget. And yes, He wants you to be generous. And so many times we just pay attention to the last part and we don't pay attention to everything He wants us to do. But what is the one area in your life that God is speaking to you about right in this moment when it comes to obedience? Maybe it's loving your spouse the way that God has loved you, because that's a command of the scripture. Maybe it's forgiving that person who hurt you. Maybe it's giving. Maybe it's serving. Maybe you spend all of your life and all of your time making your life better, but you know, you really just need to serve. I want to encourage you today. Lean into obedience, because it's the way that heaven comes to earth. Can I pray for you? Heavenly Father, I thank You that we have the opportunity to lean into the grace that you've given us, that you have come to open up the eyes of the blind. And Father, I pray for those right now who are listening who don't know you. If that's you, if you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you to start your journey with him by praying this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Christ's sacrifice. I believe that he died for me. I want to follow him. So Lord, help me to follow him every single day. Teach me what it means to be a Jesus follower. And let my life bring heaven to earth through obedience. Lord, for every person who prayed that prayer, for every person who in this moment is making a new commitment to obey you and to obey your word, I pray that you would be with them, that you would teach them, that you would encourage them. And most of all, Father, I pray that you would continue to do what the prayer says, that heaven would come to earth, that your kingdom would come, and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. I'm so excited that I got to visit with you. By the way, if you are curious about that book and you want to pick up No Dot Thing by Esther Pennebaker, you can check it out right here at this website. We will talk next week as we continue to explore heaven coming to earth.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.